Say back. There, I got it off mute. I did a good job. Amen. You know, preacher, there's a part of me that would like to see if Brother Hewitt could preach. We know that he can play the piano. Brother Putnam, I'm sorry. Brother Hewitt, yeah. Sorry. Brother Putnam.
He can. You said piano, I knew you weren't talking about
Amen. But you know, Brother Hewitt, he does have something going for him. He's got a face made for radio. Amen. But Brother Putnam, you can play the piano, you can sing. I'd like to know if you can preach, because if you can preach, I'm really going to hate you. Yeah. I tell you what, I enjoy seeing not just men, but especially young men in this day and age,
Amen.
Using the gifts and talents that God has given them for Him.
Yep.
You know, as someone who is untalented. Amen. I appreciate that so very much. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Hewitt. Putnam, sorry. Sorry. We'll get it right one of these times. Amen. And it's the drugs. You know, usually I'm napping about this time each afternoon, so I'm somewhat coherent for the evening service, but my wife has kept me medicated to deal with everything I'm dealing with. But sure do appreciate you being here. I went home last night, and again, church, thank you so much for the beautiful place that you've provided for us. It's nice, the little loft, and boy, it is very nice, and so we appreciate that. And it's the first time, preacher, in 3 years of being out on the road, deputation and all of that, that anyone has ever put us in like an Airbnb, something like this. So this is pretty cool. I like this. And so your church has done some things that have made this conference unique.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, the little basket. Yeah, the little basket. And then who's not going to forget today? Yeah. Showing up, having food, bam, there goes the lights and electricity. And but hey, you know what? God turned it back on in time for church. And God is faithful. God is faithful. But I went home last night and began praying and began thinking about something that would be a help, not just to the church family, but also to the missionaries.
Yeah.
And so, if you will take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I've entitled the message, Faith in Action.
Amen.
Because see, we can say we have faith, but if there is not an action, it's not really faith.
Right.
And I'll prove it scripturally, because as we look through Hebrews chapter number 11, you see action taking place in all of the people that God lists in Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith of heroes.
Right. Yep.
Do you understand this hall of faith, the heroes, or people who are subject to like passions as we are?
Right.
They're flesh and blood, just like you and I. I love to study the Apostle Paul.
Man.
I don't view the Apostle Paul as the fourth part of the Trinity.
No. Right.
Some of you catch that. Paul was a man just like you and I.
Right.
Paul was a sinner just like you and I.
Yes, sir.
Paul served the Lord, did great things for God. But Paul also made some mistakes.
Right.
And please, church family, I want you to understand this. The missionaries who are here, we are not superheroes.
Amen. Right. You're right.
We are regular people.
Right.
And there's times that we're in conferences and people will talk about, oh, missionaries, well, they're superheroes. No, we're not. We're human.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're flesh and blood.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
and I do that, and I want you to understand that, because if we're not careful, young people will sit there and go, I could never be a missionary because I'm not a superhero.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Come on.
Are you surrendered to God?
Come on.
And are you willing?
Right.
Amen.
If you're surrendered and you're willing, God may send you. God may not.
Right.
But being surrendered and being willing is the prerequisite. Amen. But Hebrews chapter number 11, look with me if you would in verse number 1. And I promise you, I won't do anything different than what I've already done this week. Notice what he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Oh, there's the importance of the Word of God,
yes,
the work of faith. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now from verse 4 on down through the rest of the chapter, I'm going to kind of skip to some different verses at times. But I want you to notice the first two words in verse number 4. It says, by faith. Yeah. By faith. By faith. And now we're going to continue to look through the rest of the chapter at those two words in different verses. And I want you to understand this and realize this. You're going to see in these verses those two words, by faith, and then the next word usually you're going to find is a person.
Right, yeah, yep.
All right? And then somewhere not far after that person, you're going to find a verb that displays an action that person did, and they did it by faith.
Right. Yeah.
All right? So understand, they're people just like you and I. They're flesh and blood.
Right.
But they did these things by faith.
Yeah.
Now people say all the time, Brother Hall, I don't have faith. Every single one of you here today has faith.
Right. Yep.
You're right.
I can prove it to you right now with a simple illustration. I didn't see a single one of you at the end of handshaking time go over to your chair and check out your chair and see if it was going to hold you up. The pastor said, sit down. What'd you do? You sat down.
Yeah.
Now look at me and listen to me. You have faith. You have faith in a chair. I would hate to think that you have more faith in a chair than the living God who created all things.
Right.
So we have faith, we just don't necessarily put our faith into action.
Yep.
Right? So look with me, if you would, in verse number 4. He says, by faith, who? Abel. What did Abel do? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Look in verse number 5. By faith, who? Enoch. What did Enoch do? He was translated. Why? Because God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I'm going to stop and take a bunny trail with that. Do you know what Enoch did? Tell me the great church that Enoch built. Tell me the great prophecies or things that Enoch did. He did. What did Enoch do? He walked with God.
Right.
Now understand, the most important thing for every single one of us as Christians is to have a walk with God.
Amen.
Right. Now listen, I know we've got Brother Butler and Brother Putnam, and you guys went to Bible college. How many times did you hear in chapel that the easiest place to backslide is in Bible college?
Sure.
Right, let me go a step further. Do you know one of the easy places to backslide is in the ministry?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
In the ministry.
Yep.
Now, fellas, let me help you. And ladies, let me help you. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply. It does not say my supporting churches.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
When you get to a point that, in church, you understand, when you get to a point where you start depending on something other than God, then that something has become your God.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Yeah, I was a jeweler. My mom owned a jewelry store. I became a jeweler by de facto growing up in their household. And my wife was washing dishes and split her pinky open, and we had to go to the emergency room. And when I got that bill, I said, I need a job with the insurance. The explosives business, they paid good. They had good insurance. I found out why. It was dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I took that job. Why? Because I needed to provide for her. I didn't know that through all of that, I would be working on cat equipment, and my wife's a cat kid, and Caterpillar started hiring.
Yep. Mm.
You know, they liked people that had experience with their equipment.
Yep. Oh. Yep.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't what I intended to do, but it's amazing how God has steps and steps and steps. Hey, may I say, when you will trust Him, even in the simplest form, whether it's two washed up, crinkled dollar bills,
yes, sir,
putting in the offering plate. Right? But Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What did he do to please God? He walked with God. If you will learn to do nothing else but to walk with God, God will allow everything else to fall into place.
That's right. That's good.
In your life.
That's right.
Yeah. Now listen to me. We can all get busy.
Mm-hmm.
We can all get busy. Learn to set the alarm clock 30 minutes earlier.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Spend some time alone with the Lord.
Yes,
the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord,
yep,
and He delighteth in His way.
Yep.
All right? And keep reading with me verse number 7. Verse number 7, it says, by faith, who? Noah. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What did Noah do by faith? He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. See that phrase, he moved with fear? So many times we allow fear to stop us from moving by faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Noah had faith, but he moved with fear. And I'll address some of that in a little bit, but keep reading with me, if you would, in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, what? Down toward the middle, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he would went. Verse 9, by faith, he, Abraham, what did he do? He sojourned in the land of promise. Skip down to verse number 17. By faith, Abraham. Three verses here now, we have Abraham being listed out about faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, what did he do? He offered up Isaac. Well, I don't have time to go there, but stop and think about that story.
Yeah.
He believed God. He thought that if I offer up God, God is able to raise up Isaac. Abraham believed,
amen,
in so much the coming Messiah, and what I believe that God gave him a picture of what would happen. Abraham was willing to offer up his son, thinking that God would raise his son up as a picture of the coming Messiah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And God said, nope, I just want you to show that you are able. Why? Because he stopped him and said, God will provide himself.
Amen.
Himself.
Yes, sir.
By the way, that's what the King James says. God will provide himself. It doesn't say God will provide for himself.
Right.
There's a difference between that.
Amen.
Verse number 20, it says, by faith, who? Isaac. What did Isaac do? Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, what did he do? He blessed both the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Notice, what did he do by faith? He gave commandment concerning his bones. You know, that always gets me. Hey, there's going to come a day where God's going to visit and God's going to take you out. And when you leave, take my bones. I don't even want my bones left in Egypt when deliverance comes. And yet, so many times, Joseph said, there's coming a day where you're leaving and take me out of Egypt even after I'm dead in my bones. And we have in churches today, so many people want to bring Egypt here.
Yeah, that's right.
And Joseph was wanting to say, get my bones even out of Egypt.
Amen.
All right?
Exactly right.
Let me keep reading. Look with me in verse 23. It says, by faith, who? Moses. And this always gets me. This has more to do with his parents in verse 23. When he was born, was hid. There is the action. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. How do you look at a 3-month-old and say he's a proper child? Through the eye of faith,
amen. Yep.
Realizing what God is going to do,
yep,
and how God will use him. By faith, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, what did Moses do? He refused, amen, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt. He and Joseph have something together there. Verse 29, by faith, they, who are they? They are the children of Israel. What did they do? They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which when the Egyptians essayed to do, were drowned. You know, that always amazes me. And you stop and think, they are coming through. They come up to the waters of the Red Sea, and Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what God says to Moses? Why are you standing still?
Yeah.
Go forward.
Go forward.
Amen. Go forward. You know what a lot of us do when it comes to a certain faith point in our life? We stand still.
Come on, friends.
We stand still.
Yeah.
And God says, why are you standing still? Because, Lord, I'm at a point that I don't know if I have enough faith.
Yeah.
Come on.
God says, take another step.
Yeah.
Take another step.
That's good.
Now keep reading with me if you would. It says they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho, again this is about Israel, fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Could you imagine Joseph coming to the joint chiefs of staff today and say, here's our battle plan for Jericho?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd have thrown him out of the Pentagon.
Yes, sir.
Huh? But can you imagine what that was like? Man, especially the seventh day. We're going to march 7 times around on the seventh day, and nobody can say a word. They weren't good Baptists.
Nope.
But on the seventh time, they were to shout.
Yep. Amen.
The Bible says the walls fell down. You know, go study that out archaeologically.
Yes, sir.
And just see. They say archaeologically that basically the ground opened up because they didn't fall because it would have hit the children of Israel. And they didn't fall in. It fell down. The ground just opened up and sucked down the walls of Jericho.
Amen.
Huh. I guess God was pretty good about doing that. He did that with Korah and his crowd too.
Yes, sir.
I'm always careful. I'm always careful.
Yes,
verse 31 says that by faith, the harlot. And she's always listed as that.
Yep.
Rahab.
Yep.
But what perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Notice verse 32. What shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak. You ever read that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, of Samson. Samson made the Hall of Faith, the heroes.
Yeah.
Hey, do you see it in your Bible?
Yeah, man.
Samson, the champ that became a chump.
Yeah.
Samson, the one that is always preached about don't do this. And yet God put him in the Hall of Faith, the heroes. See, God doesn't look at people like you and I do.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Of Samson, of Jephthah. You ever read the story of Jephthah in the book of Judges?
Yes, sir.
Man, that always. Yeah. Hey, if y'all figure that out, come explain it to me.
Yeah, really.
I still want to know. There's a lot of things about Scripture I know, and there is a whole lot more things of Scripture I don't know.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to heaven.
Amen.
Jephthah, tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Lord, can you rehearse this? You know, we live in a day and age where we got Blu-ray and all that kind of stuff, technology. Boy, God's the creator of everything. How much better do you think it's going to be when we get to heaven? God just says, let me hit the rewind and just start from the beginning, let you guys see everything.
Wow.
Man, I don't know, maybe we spend the first 6,000 years or so, God just saying, let me show you. Mm. We got eternity.
That's right.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to... Lord, can we pause it? I have a question right here. I don't know if that was the way it'll be.
Yep.
But I know this. I'm going to have all eternity.
Amen.
It may not matter when I get there, but you know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, Lord, keep my tears in a bottle.
Yep. Yes, right.
Write it in your book. I always would get to a point, and I said, Lord, unless you show this to me, write it down when I get there. Explain it to me. All right? Of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Notice verse 33. Who? How?
Through faith.
Through faith. What did they do? Here's the action. Subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained what? A good report. How? Through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for
us.
Who?
Us.
Us. That they, who's they? Everybody that we just talked about.
Yes, sir.
They without who?
Us.
Should not be made perfect or mature. You know, David's still waiting on us.
Sure.
Still waiting on us. Why? To be faithful. Moses, still waiting on us.
Yep.
To be faithful. All of these that we just lived, they, without us. Do you know they're dependent on us and our faith to put our faith in action? Now, stay with me. Look in verse number 12, or chapter number 12, because we put chapter breaks. Please don't misunderstand me. Chapter breaks are man-made.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
right. All right. So we're dealing with faith, and we see that verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, anytime you see the word wherefore, see where it's therefore, right?
Yep.
Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's that great cloud of witnesses? Everybody in chapter number 11.
Yes,
the great cloud of witnesses. Let us, again, it's back to us. Let us lay aside every weight. And notice this, and the sin. Singular.
Yep.
The sin which doth so easily beset who?
Us.
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, Pastor, I've heard so many times people preach that and they talk about you have your sin. You know, in context of Scripture, you know, Paul says, I believe Paul was the writer of Hebrews. All right? If Paul wasn't the writer, then maybe it was John R. Rice. That's a joke. It's an old joke. But in context, he's talking about us, but he says the sin. And he's got just finished dealing with a whole chapter, if you will, 40 verses of faith and action. And he comes to this in chapter number 12 and says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the hall of faith of heroes, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the sin, what is the sin that every single one of us here today struggle with? That next step of faith.
Yes,
of putting our faith in action.
Yep. That's it.
Right? Hey, Brother Mrs. Hewitt, today she talked about being at the Capitol. And boy, the conveniences. And she said, and the comfort.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
And you know what it took? It took another step of faith.
Amen.
Another step of faith. And you know, the honest truth is for every single one of us, it may be different places in our life, but for every single one of us, it is that next step of faith.
Yeah.
That is the sin.
That's good.
Which does so easily beset us.
Yep.
Because we put faith in everything else like a pew chair.
Yes, sir.
Than the God of all heaven. I'll give you several things very quickly and we'll be done. May I say, if we're going to put our faith in action, these things we have to understand. Number one, to put our faith in action, number one, ask. 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 James 4 says, you have not because you ask not. James 1:6 says, let him ask. How? In faith. Nothing wavering. Do you ever ask God for anything? Do you ever ask God for anything?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You ever ask God and then wonder?
Come on.
Huh? Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I have four daughters, and growing up, they I love ice cream.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love soft serve. I love custard. Amen. And custard's different than ice cream. I love it. And my wife is saying, you're saying that, and I can't have custard. You know, that'll just clog me up that much more. And that I am such torture. And you know, but my girls knew that. And there would be times they would be wanting ice cream. They didn't go ask mom, can we go get ice cream?
Yes, sir.
They knew who to go to.
Yeah.
And they didn't just come and say, Dad, can we go get ice cream? No, they would come and they would say, Dad, did you see my room, how clean it was?
Yeah.
Dad, did you notice I helped Mom with the dishes? Huh? And as my girls got older, Hewitt girls, they got a lot more smoother in their presentation. To the point, boy, my wife just spotted out like that. But me, you know, Dad, you know, oh, baby, what is it? Well, Dad, wouldn't you like to go get some ice cream?
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So many times we come to God, now God, here's my list.
Yep.
And it's not God. There's stay with me on this, but there's no buttering. My girls would butter me up.
Yeah.
There is no going and bragging on God. There is no adoration to God.
Yep.
It's almost like God has become a spiritual Santa Claus.
Yes, sir.
Here's our list of what we're asking for.
Yes, that's right.
Well, we can ask in faith, but how about you go to God and give God the due that He has deserved?
Amen.
Amen.
He is our Heavenly Father.
Yes,
and Brother Hewitt, having girls has really helped me to see through the years of what they did with me to understand, you know, God, if I as a human dad love this. I told you last night, God likes to be thanked.
Yep.
God likes to be praised. God likes to be adored.
Amen.
So many times, God is just, well, here's our list. Lord, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need this. Let me stop and say this. If you think the answer to your prayers or your problems is more money, you have a God problem.
Right.
The money has become a god, an idol to you. The answer is more God.
Amen.
More God.
Yes.
Ask. Yeah. You know, God knows, the Bible says He knoweth our frame, or He remembereth that we are but dust. And yet God still cares for us. Because we are His children. So when we come to that next step of faith and we look and we go, okay. Do you know, Moses said, Lord, I won't go unless you go with me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay, Lord, you got me to this next step of faith and you're telling me to go. Okay, Lord, I'm going, but you're going with me.
Amen.
And whatever it takes to get the confidence in your life to know that God is going with you for that next step. For some, it might need that you might need to get alone with God and confess some things and forsake some things.
Yeah.
You have not because you ask not. But wait a minute. You ask amiss.
Right.
That you might consume it upon your own lust.
Right.
If we're going to have our faith in action, we're going to have to learn to ask God for some things in our life. May I say number two, we're going to have to believe that God will do some things when we ask. Hold your place in Hebrews chapter number 11 and turn over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Look with me in verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. By the way, we'll get to verse 11 too, and I always call it 7-11. Amen? You'll see what I mean when I get there. But verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that what?
Asketh,
receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I love Matthew 7:11. Look at it. This is a promise that every single one of us ought to claim.
Amen.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what?
Ask him.
Ask him. I remind the Lord so many times, God, as a father, I've put a roof over my kids. And you understand what I mean.
Sure.
I understand that God gave me the ability to work and everything. But I said, Lord, I made sure that my kids had a roof and they had food to eat and everything. Now, God, I'm your child.
Go ahead.
Come on.
And I'm asking.
Amen.
You know, I don't think my kids ever grew up not believing that mom and dad wouldn't take care of them. Why do Christians grow up thinking that their Heavenly Father won't take care of them? Let me tell you part of why the problem is. Part of the problem is you have unconfessed and undealt with sin that you don't want to deal with. There's not a one of us that deserve the goodness of God. But God is not good to us because we are good. God is good to us because He is good.
Amen. Amen.
If I got what I deserved, I would go to hell.
Yes,
God doesn't do for me because I'm good. He does for me because He is good. And because I remind Him, you're my Father.
Yes, sir.
You're my Father. You know, we've heard this week the pastor give testimony. It's very obvious of the esteem that he has for his earthly father.
Right.
How much more esteem should we have for our Heavenly Father?
Amen.
You know, did you ever not believe your dad when he told you something?
I don't know
if I remember. Yeah. My dad says, "Son, you do that one more time."
Yes, sir.
You know, Dad never said that more than once.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When Dad said, "Son, if you do that one more time," I didn't doubt what would happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some kids at Walmart today.
Oh boy.
You do that one more time. You do that one more time. You do that one more time. I want to walk up and say, "Stop lying to the kid."
Yeah. Amen.
We were in Walmart, I don't know, this was some time back, and maybe it was the third daughter. Anyway, some kids were misbehaving, and they looked at my wife and they said, "Did we ever act like that?" And she said, "Not more than once."
Amen. Yeah.
My wife didn't say, "Just wait till we get home." My wife dealt with it right there. I told my kids more than once, "I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world.
Yeah.
And mom and I can have another one." Amen. Right, Brother Hewitt?
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, Abraham and Sarah had one at 190. Y'all aren't too far.
Amen.
I meant, y'all aren't. Yeah, never mind. That's why I say I stick with Bible. Yeah. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, look down in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 21. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. This is Jesus. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Yep. Yep.
We don't move many mountains today.
Oh.
Let's be honest.
Yes, sir.
We don't move many mountains. We get to the step of faith, and it becomes the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin.
Yes, sir.
Because we look, and we're looking at our budget, and we're looking at our situation, we're looking at the external circumstances, instead of looking unto Jesus,
amen,
the author,
yep,
and finisher,
yes, sir,
of our faith.
Right.
If this is what God wants you to do, take the next step.
Amen.
Put your faith in action.
Amen.
Ask, believe. This next part is going to shock you. Doubt. Doubt. I'll prove it to you. Turn to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. God knows your frame, right? He knows that. He knoweth our frame. He knoweth that we are but dust. Alright? So then God tells us, and the Lord said there, that you ask, nothing wavering. But you, most of us, waver.
Yes, sir.
Because we really don't move mountains. Mark chapter number 9, look down in verse number 14. It says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questioned ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. He was a teenager. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. See, I told you he was a teenager. And pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they've cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus just reiterated what I read about moving a mountain.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. The Father is like a lot of us. What is his response? Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. What's his next words?
Help.
Help thou my unbelief.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah. You know, the honest truth is God knows you better than He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Right.
And we're sinners.
Yep.
We have a sin nature.
Yes, sir.
And because of that sin nature, we are going to have doubts.
Okay.
We're going to ask and we're going to believe, but there's still that,
yep,
doubt.
Oh.
I'll prove it to you scripturally. I won't have you turn there. But in the book of Daniel with the three Hebrews children, you know, the statue, the idol, and boy, they got to bow down. If they don't bow down, they're going to get thrown. And what, they didn't bow, right?
Right.
And they come before Nebuchadnezzar. O king, we are careful to answer unto thee. We will not, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, we will not bow down. You know what he said? Our God is able.
Amen.
Yep.
But wait a minute, what's the next words he said?
But if not.
But if not.
Yep.
Now, God is able.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's never God's ability that ever comes into question.
Amen, brother. That's right.
It's God's willingness.
That's right.
God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
But is God willing? I don't know. Are you willing? Are you willing? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'm coming to you. He said, you got to come to him.
That's good. Yep.
I give you this last thought. We're done. I'm quick. Ask, believe, doubt. But the whole key is be willing to step out anyway.
Yeah.
In spite of the doubts. And say, Lord, this is what I think you want in my life. The next step for me to put my faith into action. Now, Lord, I'm willing to risk everything on you. Sold everything. Yeah? Lord, I'm willing to risk everything on you to take the gospel to Brazil.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? Sister, I'll be your first step. Well, I say first step, but it'd be the first of many steps.
Right.
Just ask Mrs. Hewitt. You get there, you get comfortable, and your husband says, let's go to this place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Every day, folks, it's another step.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Another step. Another step. God doesn't ask us to leap tall buildings, but what pleases Him?
Faith.
But Enoch pleased Him. And what did Enoch do? Walked. To walk, it's 1 foot in front of the other.
Yes, sir.
1 foot in front of the other. It's steps. And be willing to put those steps into action and trust God. Folks, look at me. I'm done. But every single one of us are going to have at different times, at different stages, different things that God is going to ask us to step out in. The question is when that time comes, will you be willing to put your doubt behind you and step or move, even if it's with fear? You know, so many times you take that step and you wind up on solid ground, you're like, yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Huh. We're so apprehensive about it, and then we're like, oh, hey, I'm still here. God loves you.
Amen.
And God is not going to ask you to take a step that will not be to help glorify Him in your life. My question to you is, will you put your faith into action? Our Heavenly Father,
amen.
I pray that you take and use the message. Lord, may we realize today that faith is a dependence upon God and the truthfulness of His Word. God, you cannot lie. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Why would we...